Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I am about to speak to Jennifer Hall. From where are you from? You're from Tamaki at the moment, right? You're speaking from Tamaki? Oh.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, I'll just check that you're loud enough. Yeah, fantastic. So you've been doing a study into what, please tell us.
Yes, so last year I did a research master's and my focus was engaging men in sexual harm prevention in the music community. And I wanted to talk to men because it's quite important to understand like how people understand the issue and and you know how they make sense of it, so that when you know you do prevention strategies or approaches, that you're kind of it makes sense to the men in the community and people in the generally in the music community as well, not just specifically men, because otherwise you might be kind of missing quite important aspects of you know issues or barriers that might stop people intervening. So yeah, and I conducted 10 focus groups. All online, so that meant I could talk to men across Aotearoa, and I had 33 men in total, which was actually really awesome.
Yeah, that is a good number, and I guess it being online has a degree of anonymity, that word, that makes it easier for people to perhaps be more honest than in other circumstances, perhaps,
Yeah, because actually one of the great things about the groups was that, I felt like the men actually were very open and honest and really shared a lot of stuff. They did talk, actually. One of the things was I was like, oh, well, maybe there's not that many spaces for men to talk about these issues because they had a lot to say. Like, we always hit the two-hour mark easy. I had, you know, I just kept it to 2 hours, but it could have gone longer.
So. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, because, I mean, traditionally, the cliche about New Zealand men in particular is that they're not very open to articulating emotions or have, that's a difficult process for New Zealand men. It's not particularly encouraged in our culture, I guess, to speak articulately about anything. So what were the conclusions that you came up with? Did you, I mean, there's not conclusions, I guess, but
Well, if I would just be like, so we just do this.
Yeah, just do this. Yeah, it's simple.
So I suppose my research was kind of focused on kind of provoking deeper thinking about some of the issues that came up. And I kind of, my research sort of approach was sort of what you call a critical qualitative approach. And so it's sort of unpacking people's maybe assumptions that are within what people are talking about. Well, so it was sort of like one of the findings or kind of central things I focused on was how the men understood how the music community worked and then that and how that connected to how they made sense of the issue of sexual harm and the possibility or not possibility of them engaging in prevention. And so there's sort of three themes, so I kind of grouped them into themes, and one of them was like called music as a party is a problem, and that's sort of about how you know music's seen and understood as you know a place to party, have fun. But that party aspect was also seen as, you know, one of the problems that caused or enabled sexual harm. So that was really interesting. And that was really quite across the board, actually. That was probably the most, the one thing that came up all the time without me having to ever ask about that.
Is that
just came up naturally?
Drug use and alcohol or just in general partying, loosening boundaries?
I would say that probably they would, it was more the focus on alcohol and drugs, but like also that kind of transgressive culture where it allows people or gives the sort of perception that they can get away with maybe
more
some harmful behaviour because people don't notice as much because it's in this sort of environment.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And some of the men thought that sort of alcohol caused potentially people to harm. Not saying, and they were very clear that it wasn't an excuse, but sometimes, even when we say that cause, it can kind of become an excuse because people go, oh, I was just drunk. Which is quite a common thing in New Zealand drinking culture.
Absolutely.
I think that's quite dominant. I don't think that's specifically the music culture. I think that's drinking culture in general.
I've certainly noticed in terms of that permissiveness, like the times that when I've been out on Halloween costumes, you know, like that, for some reason I've been groped more on Halloween than any other time, just because I think people are like, oh, it's all just, like, there's a level of levity and extremeness in those costumes. I don't know what it is about Halloween that, like, tips people over the edge, especially. But there is a weird permissiveness that is thought of in that context. And it's just, yeah, it's odd to me that that, for some reason, is, lends people to think, oh, yeah, we can all get away with everything because everyone's just being stupid anyway.
And I suppose one of the things, you know, that sort of you'd want to challenge in those understandings is that a lot of people who go out and party and drink and take lots of drugs, we don't harm. So actually maybe it's not necessarily that space, things that are causing and enabling harm. It just acts as a cover for people to think they can get away with it. And so maybe we need to look at maybe we don't need to focus so much on stopping people. Well, I mean, that's another issue, stopping people taking drugs.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
But maybe for the issue of sexual harm prevention, it might not be stopping that, might not actually stop the issue. So
it just reveals something that exists already.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's sort of the kind of ideas I was just trying to be like, oh, let's, we need to challenge some of these sort of assumptions, because otherwise we can kind of get stuck and we can't move forward.
Yeah.
Because if you talk about, you know, music is a party, but party is the problem, then you're sort of setting up an inherent conflict between prevention
and
the world of music, because music gigs are going to be, well, for at least for the foreseeable future, pretty tied to that aspect of it. So, yeah, you got to think, well, no, yeah, we can't say that, yeah, we have to get rid of that to solve the problem, because that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah.
Cool.
So that was sort of one of the kind of ideas that came through.
That's interesting. And was anything else that came out of it? Did you find that? So I've talked to people before about a particular person that was dealing with people that were in prison for sexual violence, and their perception was that they found it very difficult to own up to and admit to what they did, because then that would be devastating to know this level of harm that they've done to someone. Did you explore that area? Do you think people were open to the fact that maybe they've crossed those lines themselves? And
actually, that was one of the quite positive things, actually, I thought that came up, was that this was sort of actually a whole theme, another theme. I've got lots of themes, probably can't talk about all of them.
Yeah.
Focused on a couple.
Yeah, great, good idea.
I was here all day, but I know, you know, it's my baby, I'll talk about it forever. But yeah, no, some of the men, it was really amazing, actually. Yeah, they were pretty open about the fact that, you know, one of the important parts of engaging in prevention in this issue was actually looking at yourself and sort of saying, you know, it starts with yourself. You have to look at what you've done in the past or what you're doing now, and whether that is crossing the lines. And you know, and so a couple of people did talk about harm that they had done and how you know, they sort of worked through that, and that was a lot of looking at themselves, you know, what if I've got to get myself sorted out, you know, before I can really step into the space. Which was, I thought, really awesome that there were that was happening just sort of out of their own volition. Like, yep. Obviously some men had really thought a lot about it, actually, you know, really gone deep.
Yeah.
You know, some had sort of started to think about, oh, what makes me do these things, like these sort of gender stereotypes that got into my brain, you know, just that I wasn't that conscious of, and I'd have to start sort of breaking them down and unpacking them to go, oh, actually, no, that's not how it really is.
You know, internalized sexism is very strong. I feel like I've been spending my entire life negotiating that within myself, let alone, you know, like as a woman, as a feminist woman, you know, like let alone being a heterosexual man, like trying to negotiate that. It must be very difficult to push through that.
So the fact that there was quite a few men who were really doing that and were quite open about it, and you know, a couple of the men talked about how they were talking to the other friends about it, you know, that they were like, you know, helping them kind of open up and see some of that. So I thought that was really positive, and it also just helps to sort of show that, you know, because I think sometimes men can think, oh, it's not, I don't do harm, I'm not the problem, so why would I need to engage? But it's just, it's a recognition that we're all, including women as well, we're all part of this dynamic that is enabling it, because we, as you said, even women have internalized, you know,
absolutely,
we're all kind of conditioned, so so we need to look at ourselves to start trying to break some of that stuff down.
Did you notice a difference in age groups?
The interesting thing was, no, actually, the age was not a kind of a noticeable kind of marker of different answers and responses.
Interesting.
Yeah, like one of the oldest people in the group had some really, really nuanced understanding of the issues. And some of the younger people did as well. Yeah, it was a real range. I think maybe the identity of being in the music world was the strongest. Aspect of it. Yeah, it was interesting. I would have thought age would have been a bigger thing, but it wasn't actually. So.
Oh, wow. And demographic, like whether they were in a bigger city centre or smaller rural areas, did that make any difference, do you think?
Not much, but I didn't have a huge amount in the rural, probably. Yeah, it would have been less.
I guess people that do music usually go to bigger city centres anyway, so it's just kind of naturally.
I suppose it's a bit hard in a small town, you might be the only one. Bring the, you know, death metal scene.
Although Troy King, he seems to spend most of his time like in Whangarei, in like smaller areas, I think. Yeah. So it's surprising the people that do that make that work. But yeah, it is rare. What were any of the other conclusions that you'd like to talk about?
So that was another one. So it was one of the ones which wasn't really surprising, was sort of how, and that's again going back to how men understood how the community, music community works. And it's sort of like, and so I called it the classic, you got to do what you got to do to make it in this town, and that touches on sort of power dynamics.
Yes.
And I don't, this one I don't think specifically just to men, I think that'll be across all genders in the music community probably. And it's sort of, you know, how we understand how to be successful in the music community requires access to these very scarce opportunities that are often given by powerful people. And these understandings kind of helped sort of connect it to potentially how they talked about intervention, or the non-intervention actually maybe was the biggest problem. That kind of, because if you understand, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do what I've got to do to make it in this town, because otherwise I'm going to fail, then.
Yeah. You froze a little bit.
Be quiet if I see bad, if it's someone more powerful saying something, because I can't risk my career.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's, in terms of power dynamics, you know, I guess that's universal issue. In terms of work and those sorts of dynamics. But yeah, the music industry, there is a lot more scarcity in getting forward and being able to be paid for your work. So yeah, I can see that being a big thing. What are you going to be, what's the conclusion? What are you going to be doing with this work? Are you going to be taking that in a political sphere at all? Where are you taking it? Oh, I think you've frozen up. Oh, yes. Oh, there you go. Hello again.
Sorry.
That's all right. You just, it just froze for a sec. I was just asking you, just as a conclusion, where you're taking this to, and so what are your plans for this particular piece of research?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to organise a few kind of talks or sort of, yeah, kind of, I don't know, panel discussion or however it's going to turn out, to talk about the research with the wider music community. Because well, let's face it, no one wants to read it. Not many people are going to read it. Really long. And I've even written a summary, but even that's like not that short. Because it's hard to kind of summarize it without losing too much of it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I thought talking might be good. And then that's where people can ask questions.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, clarify anything. Because it's always, you know, you want to make sure people, you know, get what you're trying to say. Yeah, and then so I'll do that and kind of go from there and just see if there's anyone interested to take anything further, you know, develop any sort of workshop from it or something that we could do a bit further with prevention.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Oh, well, thank you so much for talking to us, Jessica. Hey, is there anywhere that people can see this piece of work or probably?
Probably the best is to email me and I can give you the link or send you the summary document, which is not too long. It's not.
It's not daunting. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, if you could send that, I can put that up on online. And thank you so much for talking to us. It's really important, interesting work, and I like the sounds of your approach to it. I think it's really positive and intriguing. Thank you so much.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.